Which one did you have for tonight? The one I have says one is part of the table. I will say.
Hey, Brother Larry. How you doing?
Hey, it's good to see you. Doing well. Nope, so far. You guys ever get a chance to talk in the choir or anything?
We have a guy in our church who is unfortunately a mental health
We need it and I appreciate it.
We got more chairs up here.
So wow. Really, it's been great.
Hey, good to see you again.
You too. You got your lapel right here.
I made 30 copies.
Okay, great.
So we may have more than.
All right. That's what I have. All right, everything's turned on and ready to go for you. I just need to just put it on. Okay. You can take that as well.
That's good.
Okay, pass this out.
I'll give you. Okay, sounds great. Yes.
All right, at what church was it?
Stone Ridge Baptist Church in Bloomington. Yeah.
Okay. That is great.
So. You guys are always good at being on time and running a nice tight ship.
That's right.
I gave them all the ones that we had. We had 30.
Yes, we'd run out. So, yeah, I'm going to introduce you now so you can get started.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, welcome to the Personal Evangelism Training Course. We have right here Pastor Andy Gashke from Stone Ridge Baptist Church in Huntington. So come on up.
Right. Really good attendance here. I apologize if you don't have enough handouts. When the conferences first started, we had maybe 20 per class, and so I printed 30, and there is a great attendance here. So hopefully you can just kind of share a little bit. If you don't happen to have your own copy, you might be able to look over somebody else's shoulder. This is a really important session because we can have a burden for evangelism and not have the training or the capabilities to be able to lead people to the Lord because we haven't put in the time to be trained for it. And so if you're a pastor and you've got people that have come to the conference like this, or if you're a bus captain or a youth pastor or a faithful lay worker, we have a responsibility to effectively demonstrate leading people to Christ, but then also giving them the training so that they can lead people to Christ. In other words, let me change illustrations for a minute. What would it be like to have a missions conference? And the church is like, we love missions. We want to get behind missions. But then no missionaries come through to support. No missionary trips are presented for the church to be able to get involved. So I'm simply saying, with personal evangelism training course, this is going one step beyond, hey, we all need to reach people for Christ. And this is, now this is how to get the training, and let's hit the pavement and start doing it. It's interesting, there's a lot of studies out there that talk about the effectiveness of churches in regards to the pastor's passion. And so I have to really start at that point. One study was done to determine how a pastor's passion for personal evangelism carried over into the church. Of the 300 churches that were in this particular study, this survey, that were growing, half of the pastors said that personal evangelism was one of their top two most exciting ministries. So what I'm saying there is, you can't be a pastor of a church and say, well, the deacons are in charge of the evangelism, the bus workers are in charge of evangelism. It has to start as the shepherd. And as you have a burden for that, you're able to communicate that to your staff, you're able to communicate that to your church, and really, you are the primary one that trains them with evangelism. I'm sure you've got folks that would be here if they could, but they can't because of job and responsibility, school or whatnot. You take your training home today, and you become the instructor for them over the next several months and bring them up in being effective. I want you to imagine, for instance, that you were given an opportunity to work in a bus ministry, and this is going back before you had really any ministry experience, and somebody said to you, could you be in charge of the bus maintenance? And you're like, well, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. And they say, okay, so we've got a fleet of three buses. And so you check the tires, the oil, take it in for inspection, do all that. You're like, all right, that sounds good. I'm ready to serve. And they say, by the way, you don't have any tools. We really don't have any training for you. But I hope it goes well for you because, you know, we really have a need that these buses run tip-top shape. You'd say, I got to have tools. I got to have a shed. I got to have a budget. I've got to have something to be able to be effective in taking care of these buses. And I'm just simply using that as an illustration. When it comes to evangelism, it's not enough to have a burden. Now you have to equip your people, and you have to be equipped yourself in order to be capable and reach your full potential. So the gospel is very simple. The gospel is a simple message, and what's happened is Satan blinds people's eyes, causes them to think about different works that they have to do to try to atone for their sin. And so it almost, as people get more wrong religion and wrong teaching, they have to unlearn those things before they can receive the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is very, very simple. But what can happen is if we are too simple in our presentation and we don't really understand where people are coming from, we're not as effective in leading people to Christ. So I've had to learn this the hard way. There are times where I have given people a gospel presentation and it's gone something like this. You're a sinner. And I've amplified that. Because of your sin, you're on your way to hell. I've amplified that a little bit. God loves you. And I've amplified that with verses. And if you believe on Christ, you can have your sins forgiven. There are many that hear that message, and because of their background, understanding Jesus as the Son of God, understand that they're a sinner, they embrace Christ, they become believers, their lives change. But I'm simply saying, there have been times, I'm saying this as an admission, that I've gone through a message like that, and after I ask the follow-up questions, they're like, yeah, I know, I just need to do better. Well, I'm not sure I was really going to hell, but, you know, I kind of felt bad about some things I did. Okay, this is what I want you to let you know. I did not effectively communicate the gospel to them so that they understood they were lost. So that they understood, how about this, that it's not Christ and good works, it's Christ alone. So you have somebody that comes into this and they've got a very strong works background. And you give them, you're a sinner, you've got judgment, God loves you, believe on Christ, they may just add that to their works and they really haven't changed their mind that good works is does nothing for their relationship with God. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is some training courses or some resources to be able to help you. Hopefully that when you hit some of these things, you're better equipped to be able to work through some of these challenges. First of all, the personal evangelism courses, I'm just giving you experiences that I've had. And so there's a presentation called The Exchange. This has been something that has been out there for about 10 years, The Exchange. It is a gospel presentation that comes from Fundamental Ministry. It presents the gospel by studying the character of God in four truths. So this is a very God-centered presentation. God is holy, man's a sinner. He is just, we are condemned. He is love, man is loved. And God is merciful, we can receive forgiveness. So it's helpful because it teaches a person how to direct the conversation toward the gospel. Sometimes people say something like this: well, I was looking for an opportunity to witness, but I just don't have any opportunities. Okay, the opportunities are all around us. If we could take the conversation, we could turn the conversation to spiritual things, it's amazing the opportunities that are there. So this presentation gives you a couple of lead questions, something like, how would you describe your relationship with God? Well, that's a non-threatening question. Person may say, well, I need to get back into church. Well, I was confirmed when I was 12. How would you describe your relationship with God? Well, I pray every day, but I don't think church is really important. You know, that just helps people begin to start talking about that. And then the second question that this presentation talks about is, what do you think it takes to have a relationship with God? Well, that's when the conversation begins to slowly begin directing toward what are they trusting in for a relationship with God. Certainly you can follow that up with, are you 100% sure that all of your sins are forgiven? But you know, I have done hours and hours of door-to-door. And as I go up to somebody and I knock on their door, my name is Andy, I'm from this church, and you go right into it, even a good person can sometimes be like, wow, that's kind of a heavy question. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask it. Those questions need to be asked because that identifies where their needs are. But with The Exchange, there are several questions that can kind of lead you into getting to the heart of the matter. And I always teach this with soul winning. You have to get to that key question. You have to get there. You've got to figure out a way to turn the conversation, to ask God for wisdom, to get to those key questions. Well, they have several resources that are out there with this Exchange ministry. Jeff Musgrave is one who teaches this. He has these in some simple booklets. This is The Exchange. It's an inquirer's Bible study, and basically it goes through four lessons in the privacy of a person's own home where they can present the gospel to that individual over a series of, let's say, 4 weeks or something. This is a very helpful little booklet. This is a little different from what churches may have done over the last several decades, because typically, and I do this too, we give the gospel at the door, we give the gospel at the bus stop, we give the gospel. This slows people down a little bit and helps you work through some specific issues, and it's all about the gospel. Now, this is also done in a what we would call the Romans Road. This is also done in a little bit more thorough presentation where you can learn the four characteristics of God, some leading questions, some illustrations that people are like, yeah, now I understand. And you can go through that presentation. That's probably a 15 or 20 minute gospel presentation. There's a leader's guide also that comes along with that, that just helps give you some notes along the side. And it's just very straightforward type of Bible study. I've used this before. And then he also has a discipleship, because whenever you lead someone to the Lord, you always want to have discipleship in mind immediately. So there's actually two aspects. One is going through the Bible study, which sometimes that's the best fit. There are other times you don't have time to go through a Bible study. You just give them the gospel. And of course, a person could be trained for that. I've probably gone through this booklet with people, maybe about a dozen people that we've gone through in our ministry. And it's been very, very effective. I had two of my neighbors that are in my discipleship class right now at our church. My daughter and I went down the street. We're inviting people for Easter a year ago. And they're like, we're kind of looking for a church. So they showed up for Easter. They've been coming ever since. I went through that Bible study. They got assurance of their salvation. They're baptized. They joined our church and are growing. So that was an effective way. My wife is doing a Bible study with her grocery store clerk. She just built a relationship. We try so hard to build relationships with the mechanic, with any businesses that we have, people in the community. We've gone through the Bible study with another neighbor two doors down, And she got assurance of her salvation before they moved away. And so this can be a fantastic way to present the gospel. It takes about 30 or 40 minutes each week. All of the questions are answered from Bible verses that are in the Bible study booklet. And so if you wanted to use your Bible, you're certainly welcome to. You could take your booklet, open it up so you know what the leading questions are. You could open up your Bible on the other side. You could read it from the Bible if you're more comfortable with that. If you want to use it right from the Bible study, that's certainly something that you could possibly do. What are some of the advantages with using this type of a study? Well, it keeps the Word of God as the authority to discover the truth. So it's not like, well, I think this and you think that, but I think this. It's like, hey, it's laid out right here. This is what God says. So it really doesn't matter what I think. And by the way, it doesn't matter what you think if it's different from what God says. Keeps it the authority of discovering truth. It establishes a new convert to make a habit in the Bible study. So you have four lessons with them doing a Bible study, and then why not have a fifth week and do lesson number one of discipleship? Because they've already been meeting with you in their home. It builds a relationship with a person that you've been ministering to at a personal level. So you have a connection with them. You call them, you text them. They're looking forward to spending some time with you. And so this can be very effective. How do you get started? Well, I would suggest, first of all, that you get a copy for yourself. If this is anything that you might possibly be interested in, you can just go to Exchange Ministries and you could get a copy. These are very inexpensive. They don't make money on this. This is just an idea of a way to equip churches. And so you could order this and go through it. So if you're a pastor, I would start with you. You go through it, see if this is a fit for your ministry. It may be. I hope it is. It may not, but I want you to go through that and at least, you know, see what it's like. If it works, Jeff and Anna Musgrave do training. They fill up their calendar for the entire year. They do training for missionaries, for Baptist World Missions. They do training in different churches. We had them in our church back in 2012. It was very, very helpful for us. And so there are ways to be able to get equipped in that, and just wanted you to know about that. Another ministry that I want to talk to you about is Netcasters. And that is a different type of a training ministry. When I was in college, I had such a burden for evangelism. My roommate and I memorized maybe 50 verses that had to do with soul winning, and we keep each other accountable. And you know, it would be verses that dealt with works and verses that dealt with Christ alone and not the law. And we would work on those things. And so I remember just as a preacher boy hearing about different churches, and there was one church that really stood out to me because they were always doing evangelism training. And I said, if I get in church ministry, I want to be in a church that's passionate about the gospel. So I went out to Colorado to church there and began to serve in that capacity, and they did a lot of Netcaster training. So I'm going to give you some information about some of that training. Netcasters is a gospel presentation that focuses in on using the law of God to bring conviction to the sinner so then they see the need of Christ. So if you've ever looked at somebody and you said, you need to be saved, and their eyes are glassed over, and it's like they're just looking at their watch and they don't understand, there's no conviction in their heart. Now, you can't do that. The Holy Spirit does that. But when you give the law, talking about thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, a type of lying, people feel convicted about that. And all of a sudden, there's something inside where the Holy Spirit quickens them, and they say, been doing wrong. And so I'm simply saying, Netcasters focuses on giving the gospel through presenting the law of God and then giving Christ as the answer, and through all of that through Holy Spirit dependence. So this comes from Luke chapter 5, where Peter was fishing and Jesus called him to throw out his net. And it was almost like Peter was shaking his head saying, I've been fishing all night and the fish aren't out there. And he says, nevertheless, at thy command I'll go. So he goes out in the ship. He casts out the net, and his nets begin to burst because there's so much fish out there. So the idea is to depend on the Lord to become a fisher of men. That's what Netcasters is all about. So what can you expect? Netcasters gives a framework on how to present the gospel through dependence on the Holy Spirit and conviction through the law of God. Netcasters will teach, as I've mentioned, the importance of the law and Christ's teaching on hell. Even when I find tracts, I feel like that's important. And I feel like it's important because many evangelicals, and I'm getting beyond maybe our circles, run from hell because they feel like it's too offensive. And when Jesus went to an intellectual religiously saturated culture in the first century, he preached on hell. He did not run from it at all. It has to be done with compassion, and so that's an important place to bring out. But they do offer one-week training seminars at churches. I've been a part of training other churches. I've been a part of church that's hosted these training sessions. I've taught this several times, and I feel like Netcasters can be a very effective tool. This is just a tool. There are different tools that are out in Christendom, but this is one that can help you be effective in covering some of the issues of presenting the gospel thoroughly. There are about a dozen verses to memorize. There are also more verses that can equip a person to give Bible answers. And then the question is this, are there tests? Yes, there are tests, because you may have heard this saying before, you can only expect what you inspect. And so there's a test. When we went through with our evangelism training, I think we had 80% of our people pass the test the first time, and those that maybe had deficiencies can always go back and retake that. But you're not going to memorize something. You're going to fall back into your old pattern of evangelism unless you're really pushed into learning something that may be a little bit more thorough. What are some personal evangelism resources? Well, there are some books, and so this is a totally different approach. This is even a little bit different from what the workshop is titled. You may have a men's group. You may have a group of preacher boys. You may have a ladies' Bible study throughout the week, and you just want to be challenged on personal evangelism. You're not doing the course. You're not necessarily looking for the exchange, but you just want something to help you. Well, there are several books that have been out that are incredibly helpful. This is a classic. It's been around for a long time, The Golden Path to Successful Personal Soul Winning. Many courses ask a person to read this book before they get into it. John R. Rice, great soul winner. Very straightforward in presenting the gospel. You could use this as a Bible study. You could use this for your own personal time. To use it as a men's study. I just picked this book up this week. I haven't read it yet. This is To Seek and to Save by Paul Chappell, Winning and Building Committed Followers of Jesus Christ. Again, a little booklet, a short read, but can challenge a person in evangelism. This book was a great blessing to me several years ago when it came out, Christ's Last Command. Now that's significant just in the title. His Last Command, The Great Commission. It's by Peter Stevenson. And he does a tremendous job. It is so practical. This one particularly, you go through with deacons, you go through with Sunday school teachers, you go through with a men's Bible study, and it has some very practical suggestions on how to be effective in the gospel. So those are some books that you might be able to utilize to kind of supplement you to be effective. There are different tracks that are out there, and of course everything is on the web right now, so you can go to some of those websites and be able to look up some different opportunities. The Exchange Message is the track that we use. The title of that is How to Have a Relationship with God. How would you describe a relationship with God? There is Living Waters. That's something I've become more familiar with Ron Comfort over the last several years. And I'm getting to know that ministry a little bit better. They're also effective in presenting the law and then the answer with Christ being the answer. Revival Focus is the ministry there that has several tracks, but they're the ones that Netcasters comes out of. God's Simple Plan of Salvation right here in Indiana has been used by the hundreds of thousands of tracks. You could use that one. Striving Together Ministries also has many attractive printing materials. So back in the 90s, I had two tracks that I would always use, and printing was very different back then. Printing was monochromatic. It was very simple. But today, when you're working with people that are seeing banners and they're seeing nice web designs, you really have to be very mindful that the tract is attractive. So people get it, and they're like, oh, that looks interesting to me. And so it's well worth the money to make that purchase. There are some online resources that could be helpful for you as far as tools that you might be able to look up if you needed to find some other things. Personal evangelism training, the final point here. Personal evangelism involves sowing and reaping, just like a farmer. You need to be willing to make the time to train other people. When I take somebody out and train them, I try not to just go out 1 week at a time. I try to take somebody and take them out for 3 to 6 months and make sure that they see somebody come to Christ and make sure that they see how to interact with people that are antagonistic and how to interact with people that are hungry and how to interact at that level. I've been helped so much by pastors who have taken me out, and I've just watched them interact with a Muslim, and I've watched them interact with Roman Catholics, and I've watched how they interact with Mormons. And after a while, their training rubs off on me, and so then my goal is then to take that training and to be able to pass it on to somebody else. You cannot have evangelism training if you don't get out and hit the pavement. It is not learned in the classroom. It happens out there, but people don't know what to say or how to start the conversation unless you have some sort of a meeting. And so this is very, very important. The best way to teach effective personal evangelism is to show disciples how to win others to Christ. And so I rarely go on soul-winning visits alone. There are different reasons. A person could say accountability and various other things, and those certainly are aspects to think about. But I simply want to train others. So when I was a youth pastor at Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle for several years, I would take the young people who had a passion for evangelism, and they would be my partner for 3 to 6 months. And sometimes the youth pastor feels like, well, I've got this troublemaker over here. I've got to kind of babysit him for a while and let the other guys go out, and so I keep my eye on them. I went for those who had the most potential. That's who I poured my time into, because it's exciting now to be able to see some of them going on to serve the Lord in missionaries and as youth pastors and starting churches now as time has gone by. I personally now go out with spiritual leaders. This is not to be too pushy with people, but if I have some folks in my church who need to be encouraged with evangelism, I'll say, hey, this would be a good visit for you. Would you like to do this? They'll say, oh, yeah, I will. Next week, have you gotten to that? Well, not yet. Do you want me to go with you? No, I can get it. Call them up and, you know, try to just nudge them a little bit, or maybe even go with them to try to give them a little bump. Crane Naval Base is not too far from Bloomington. It's amazing that there'd be a naval base in the middle of Indiana, but when I moved out to that area, I realized that there was, going back there from the Cold War era. But there was a particular sailor who'd been coming to our church. He gets moved around about every 18 months, every 2 years, something like that. And when he walked into church, wow, he just looked like he was so uncomfortable. Just like, oh man, I'm here, and having had a church background, and he had a family and these things, and a good guy. But I drove out to right outside of Crane Naval Base to meet him, and he was in charge of some of the arsenal over there as far as the small arms and things. That was one of his jobs. And so I began to talk to him about the Lord, and I turned the conversation. I brought one of the college students with me, a young man who had gone on visitation with me for a while, but I just recently that summer decided that I wanted to mentor him with evangelism. So go through the gospel with this sailor, and God arrested his heart. I mean, he just listened. He's leaning at the edge of the sofa. He wants to hear how he can have this issue resolved, that he has been estranged from God, that is his own sin. And he leaned forward, and this guy that has no church background and rough on the outside and rough in speech and all of these things, prayed in his living room, trusted Christ as his personal Savior, had changed life forever. And we got back into the car, and the young man that was with me said, oh, he said, I've never seen that before. He said, I've witnessed so many times. He said, but that was the first time I saw somebody get saved and get it. And so I look at that, the sailor's been moved on. I praise God that the Lord has, you know, changed his life from the inside out. But just as important as that is for me is passing on to this young man that he can become a soul winner. And I hear recently that young man went overseas on a missions trip to the Philippines, gave the gospel to, I'm not kidding, about 1,000 Filipinos this young man did. God used him in a significant way. And the story I gave you was from the summer before, and then a summer later, he's going out and reaching people for Christ. This is a spiritual leader taking advantage of tools that are out there, bringing somebody alongside. We're going to be faithful. We're going to believe God can help us to reach people for Christ, and eventually the Lord bringing that about. I was with another young man, a college student in our ministry, and we were doing some door-to-door. It was a spring day. Felt a little bit warmer than this, but pretty close to what we have here. Knocked on a door. The door was, this particular house was really, really run down, and I heard this real feeble, come in. I thought, well, I don't think she knows who I am, but I guess I'm going to come in. There's this woman who's laying on the couch. She's bedridden. She's a Native American woman. She's laying across there. She has several severe health problems, has been bedridden for a while. So I sat down with her. It was dark in the room. Every window was closed. It smelled like smoke. I began to talk to her about Christ. Her heart opened up so quickly to the hope of the gospel. She had a background, and she understood some religious things, but she didn't understand Christ, and she didn't understand that it was a free gift. And so I had this young man with me. We pulled up a chair. I began going through the gospel with this woman, and she trusted Christ as her personal Savior. Well, the amazing thing is, that young man came out there. He's like, I think she got saved. He's like, that was exciting. I said, she sure did. It was tremendous. And so it's a blessing to be able to see, as we sow the seed, not only do we lead people to Christ, but we train people within our ministries to lead people to Christ. So a bus captain could say, well, I feel like I'm the only one who's going out faithfully, and everybody, I've got an excuse, we can't go this center, can't go this center. Okay, you say, I'm going to take this person with me. You're going to be my partner. We're going to do these 4 to 6 weeks. God will do something in that time, because He is working. He opens up hearts just like He opened up Lydia's heart in the Bible. And that person can catch the vision for gospel. And then they can, in turn, train somebody else. But this is what Jesus did with the disciples. He said, follow me. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. And they had many hurdles to overcome, but God used them. If you're a pastor and you feel like I'm the only one that goes on visitation, that is very common. It's very, very common. If you can, in your messages, throw in illustrations of people that are coming to Christ through your witnessing. Say, God, I have to see this happen. That will prepare the soil for the hearts of your people, that you can approach them and say, can we go out Monday nights together? We've got several neighborhood that I want to reach. We've got this individual I want. Can you go with me? God can be able to use you to be able to pass that burden on to somebody else. But it's not enough just to come to a conference like this, because this and then all of a sudden tuck away these good booklets and the material that we get and forget. You need to train your people. And then if you go 2 months and the people that have received the gospel haven't even given the gospel, they're back to where they started. It's just human nature. If I don't give the gospel, if I personally, as a pastor, don't give the gospel on a weekly basis, I begin to become reluctant, rusty, more intimidated than I should be. And when it's at the tip of my tongue and I'm giving the gospel, there will be people who reject, and there will be people who will trust Christ. And so these are some tools that you can be able to use to equip yourself to become more effective. It's the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is very simple. But sometimes people, because of their religious beliefs, make it more complicated. They try to add works to the gospel. And some of these tools can help you to be able to decipher how to help them recognize that it's not you, your works, and Christ. It's Christ alone. And so there are other tools that are out here. These are the ones that I have personal experience with. I'm very passionate about them because they've been a help to me, and I've seen them really become an amazing help to other churches as well. Last illustration. We went out to Singapore in the year 2000. We helped train a church in Singapore with evangelism. And these dear folks, these dear Singaporeans, really got a heartbeat and got a vision for personal evangelism. It was from that church that it went from a couple hundred to in the thousands. They had 5 different services with Chinese, with English, with various other languages. And God used them in a dynamic way then to begin to launch ministries all over Asia. And it's because normal people, just common everyday people, said, we're going to be soul winners. And God was using them and is using them in a dynamic way. So I trust that that'll be a help to you and encouragement in some practical ways of how to be more effective in soul-winning training.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Gashke. The next course in here will be Effective Use of the Gospel Literature by Pastor Jason Wall. You guys can stay here if you want, or you guys can be dismissed. Thank you.